Hallelujah. Good to be here again. Glad for everybody. We love you today. Let me say that. We love you very much. Praise God. We're thankful to be here. Hallelujah. Hot here today, but it's good to be here. Amen. Praise God. I'm thankful. It's supposed to be cooler outside, though. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And what it has been. Praise the Lord. And we might be past the Hades part. Amen. Mark for this month anyway. Praise God. Who knows? Amen. But anyhow, thankful to be alive. I'm glad I'm able. Got my right mind, that I know who to serve. I know that I need to worship him, and I want to worship him. I want to serve him. Amen. Praise God. Genesis 47, one verse of scripture, verse 29. Hebrews 11, we're going to read verses 20 and 21. If you've got Genesis 47, 29, say amen.
Amen.
And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. Hebrews 11, verse 20. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Amen. Hallelujah. They're going to blast the shofar. Amen. Praise the Lord. In case you don't know what to do, we want you to give the Lord praise as they blast the shofar today. Come on. Amen. Come on. Let's elevate it in this place.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Let's elevate it in this place. Today, I want to minister simply on this thought. Don't bury me in Egypt. Don't bury me in Egypt. Look at your neighbor, amen, and say, don't bury me in Egypt. Amen. Praise God. Just in case, there's a lot of details to, amen, the story of Jacob's life. But just in case, you know, we assume, can I say this? We assume as preachers, I think, and even as people who have been in, amen, the church, you've been saved, been around preaching and teaching and Sunday school, grew up and all of those things. We just assume that everybody knows who everybody is. Everybody knows the characters, and when we say, amen, specific names, we think everybody knows the details. But we can't assume that today, amen. And when I'm studying, when I'm preaching, I try to keep in mind that not everybody may know what I know. Not everybody may understand what I understand. And so when I lay foundations and I give context, it's for the purpose of making sure, amen, that everyone is in the same understanding, to where when we get to what God is trying to say to us, amen, it doesn't give the enemy any room to say, well, I don't know, I don't even know who that was, so I don't know how that pertains to me. But there's a lot about this character named Jacob, amen. We know that Jacob was the twin brother of Esau, amen, who was born to Isaac and, amen, Rebekah. Praise God, he was the twin of Esau. Esau was born first, and Jacob was born after Esau, grabbing onto his heel, amen, as he was coming out of the womb. Amen, we know that Jacob gained the birthright from Esau, amen, convincing him to sell his birthright for a bowl of soup and some bread. Amen. And praise God, Esau, being the firstborn, was legally accessible to the birthright. The birthright was a double portion of everything that the father had. The blessing of the family passed on down from generations past, taking it into the next generations that belonged to the oldest son. Amen. It was his birthright. But Esau despised his birthright. Right, and so Jacob convinced him to sell it to him, if you will, for a piece of bread and a bowl of soup. And then we know, amen, that as Isaac was getting ready amen, to die, and he was going to pronounce a blessing upon Esau as the oldest before he died. The Bible said that his sight was dim and that he couldn't see. We know that Jacob deceived Isaac into receiving the birthright blessing. He covered his arm. The Bible tells us Esau was a hairy baby, amen, and Jacob was not. And so he put, amen, a goat skin on his arm, amen, and he deceived Isaac, amen, into believing that he was Esau, and so the blessing of the birthright went on to him. But this put him on the run from Esau. This caused him, amen, to flee. And the Bible tells us, amen, that Jacob fled to Haran. He ended up, amen, in a place, a little area called Luz, amen, but he was going to Haran. And the Bible says that it was there that he received the dream of a ladder or a stairway that was going from heaven to earth. And he saw the angels of God going up and down, amen, from heaven to earth. And at the top, amen, at the top of that ladder or steps, amen, he saw the Lord. Amen. And God told him, amen, from the top of that ladder. Aren't you glad that God met us where we are? Amen. In Genesis, they tried to build a tower, amen, to get to heaven, but God said, that's not how it works. I'm going to bring heaven down to you, amen, hallelujah. And God spoke to him from the top of that ladder and told him that all of the families in the earth, all the families of the earth would be blessed through Jacob's offspring. Amen. And Jacob built an altar there and he called the name of the place Bethel. Amen. It means house of God. And he vowed that if God would be with him, if God would protect him, if God would provide for him, that he would give God back a tenth of everything that God blessed him with. He would pay God a tenth. He would give God the tithe off of everything that God blessed him with. How many knows, amen, that being amen, a giver and giving your tithe will open up, amen, the blessing of heaven to come down, amen, in your life. It just simply says, I believe and know that everything that I have comes from you, and if it comes from you, it belongs to you. You're only giving it to me. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Bible says, amen, that he goes on to marry Leah and Rachel, and he has 12 sons. These 12 sons would later become the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen. There's a lot of details. We preached not too long ago about Jacob and Laban's house and Rachel and Leah. Amen. He wanted to marry amen, Rachel, but her father Laban gave him Leah first, the oldest, and then he had to work 7 years. Then he gave him Leah first, and then he had to work another, amen, 7 years, and he gave him Rachel. Amen. And so it came the time that Jacob wanted to leave Laban's house. He wanted to separate himself and take Leah and Rachel and his family, amen, away from Laban's house. But we see in the word that Laban, amen, was not very cooperative about that, amen. And so God gave Jacob a dream. He gave him a dream reminding him of his vow. And he said to him, I am the God of Bethel. I am the God. Sometimes we just got to take the enemy back, hallelujah, to where God spoke. And we got to repeat. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Says to rehearse his word. Sometimes you just got to rehearse it. Hallelujah. Amen. And remind the enemy. So God reminded Jacob in a dream that I am the God of Bethel. And so the Bible says, amen, that he got Laban to be away. Praise the Lord. And he fled Laban's house. with Jacob or with Leah and Rachel and, amen, even Laban's wealth, because it belonged to him anyhow. He had worked and Laban had withheld from him. And God said, I will bless you, amen, amen, and he will provide for him. He reminded him, I am the God of Bethel. That means, Jacob, you asked me that if I would protect you and I would provide for you and I would guard you, that you would get back to me. So I'm telling you, Jacob, I'm the God that's going to take care of you. Amen. Tap somebody around you and say, God's got you. God has got you. Hallelujah. He will not back out of his word. So he flees with Leah and Rachel and the wealth of Laban, praise God, and he sends word. Amen. Now remember, he has fled from Esau, been away from him for years, and he sends a message to Esau, telling Esau that he wants reconciliation. Amen. That he doesn't want any more animosity. He doesn't want to live with that fear and that anxiety, always looking over his back. Amen. At his shoulder because of Esau. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that it was then that he had an encounter with God. The Bible says that it was then that the angel of the Lord wrestled with Jacob. Amen. Wrestled with him. This is where Jacob said, I will not let you go. The angel said, let me go. He said, I'll not let you go till you bless me. Hallelujah. We just got to have the tenacity of a bulldog sometimes. Hallelujah. Praise God. The enemy makes us think we're a chihuahua. But if you've ever been around a chihuahua, they think that they are, amen, a pit bull. So they'll charge after you, grab your foot, grab your leg. Hallelujah. Even though you can one swift kick or get them right across, but how they know it's a bite, amen, might hurt in the process. Amen. No offense to anybody that owns a chihuahua. Praise God. But I'm just saying, amen, they have the mindset of a pit bull. Amen. So they don't let anything, amen, keep them, amen, back from that. So we know that it was there, amen, that when Jacob refused to let go and he wrestled with God, it was there that God, amen, put his thigh out of joint, amen, and he changed his name to Israel. He said, your name now is Jacob, amen, but I change your name to Israel. Israel means prince of God. It means, amen, from an ancient root that God rules. If I can say the biblical terms, God is in charge. What God says will happen. What God declares will happen. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us that Jacob had a permanent limp from this encounter. So this encounter, amen, changed Jacob forever. And we know that he reconciled with Esau. He made things right with Esau, and then now we know that time passes, amen, with the story of one of his sons, amen, by the name of Joseph. We won't go into all of the details of Joseph, but we'll just say that Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers because they were jealous of him, because Jacob favored Joseph, and so Joseph ended up in Egypt after a lot of distress and a long series of struggling and suffering. He ended up, amen, elevated in the kingdom of Egypt, and he was there in a place of authority. Amen. And as after this happens, amen, we see that there was a famine, amen, in the land of Canaan. There was a famine in the land of Jacob and his sons. And his sons went to Joseph, amen, realizing, praise God, they went to Egypt. Amen. Joseph realizing these were his brothers. Amen. And so famine forced them. Amen. Joseph's brothers and Jacob to go to Egypt. And it was there that Joseph provided for his father and his brothers and sisters. And so the Bible says, amen, that 17 years Jacob dwelt in Egypt. And he was ready to die. And by this time he was 147 years old. So he was 130 when he went to Egypt. and realize the reunion of his son Joseph, the one that he loved. Amen. 17 years now they've lived in Egypt. They prospered. They've been taken care of. And now Jacob is ready to die. Amen. And the Bible says that he brings Joseph to his bedside. And he asks Joseph to make a vow. He says, if I have found grace in your sight, will you put your hand on my thigh and make this vow with me? Amen. See, that was a Jewish thing. Amen. When you made a vow. Excuse me. Or you went into agreement with someone else. Placing your hand on their thigh was a sign of covenant. But I think it's also interesting that it was in the thigh, amen, in the hip that Jacob had, amen, a permanent, amen, handicap, if you will, a limp, after God made a covenant with him.
Come on,
stay with me. The devil is a liar.
Amen.
So we know that Joseph made that covenant with his father Jacob. And then the Bible says, amen, that Jacob became ill. He became sick. Amen. And he sent for Joseph to bring his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Amen. So Jacob is calling in for Joseph and his two sons, which would be his grandsons. And the Bible said by this time, he was so weak, but he gathered enough strength to pull himself up on the bed, to sit up, amen, on the bed, in the bed, praise God. And he told Joseph, amen, about his encounter with God. He told Joseph, amen, how that God met him at Bethel. Amen, and the promise that God had made him. How that God had told him, hallelujah, that he was going to bless every family, amen, all the families of the earth through Jacob. Now he's telling Joseph, amen, that he was going to now bless them to carry on the covenant or the promises of God. Amen. And so now, here he is laying on his bed. Their beds were not like ours with, amen, necessarily with four posts, amen, and all of that. So I'm not real sure what his bed really looked like, but there he was, weak. There he was, amen, not very good, amen, with his vision. His eyesight was dim. He was weak. He was sick. He was 147 years old. He knew that his time was very close, amen. But he wanted Joseph to understand the covenant blessing that had been spoken over his life. He wanted Jacob wanted Joseph to understand, amen, that this is the promise of God. And so I need you, amen. So he had already got Joseph to go into, amen, covenant with him, to vow with him, amen. And now he was telling Joseph, I'm going to bless your sons, amen, so that they can carry on the promise. This brings us back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. If you'll put that back up there for just a minute. It says, By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. He worshipped leaning upon the top or the head of his staff. See, I think it's interesting that if you read Hebrews chapter 11, it gives us a record of the exploits of some of the great people in the Old Testament. It gives us a record, amen, of shutting lions' mouths, of raising the dead, of parting seas, of walking through fire. Amen. It gives us some really great exploits, amen, of some of these men and women of faith in the Old Testament. But it's interesting that Jacob is included in this list simply because he worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. To me, it seems a little conflicting, amen, to a events. We're talking about supernatural miracles, things that only God can do, things that man, amen, could not possibly accomplish. Hallelujah. Amen. What he didn't, amen, doesn't look like a miracle of faith. It really doesn't look like a miracle of faith that Joseph, amen, worshiped and leaned upon the head of his staff. Hallelujah. But here's what I want us to look at this morning. I've never preached from this, amen, perspective. Amen. But I want us to look, hallelujah, that God included this in a list of supernatural miracles. Amen. God included this, amen, in a listing of so many things. Come on, do you hear me? Everybody preaches about, amen, shutting the lion's mouth in the den for Daniel. Everybody preaches how God parted the Red Sea and God's people crossed over. Everybody preaches how the prophet raised the dead. Everyone preaches, amen, how that the Hebrew boys came out of the fire without any harm or any damage. But we don't hear, amen, a lot of people preach, amen, that Joseph, amen, that Jacob worshipped by, amen, leaning upon his staff. You don't hear because it doesn't seem like that big of a miracle. But yet it's listed in the great hall of faith. So I want us to look at that this morning. Amen. And we've got to look at the word used here for worship. It's from the Hebrew word shakah. That word tells us that it is an intimate worship. Amen. So it wasn't just, amen, a howdy do to God. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. But this was a deep, intimate worship coming from Jacob. Keep in mind that Jacob was weak. He was sick. He was bedridden. He could barely walk. Amen. He had walked for years with a limp, but now he could barely sit up in the bed. Hallelujah. But what he could do, amen, he gathered all that strength and he brought an intimate worship, a worship that came from knowing, not a worship that came from a have to, not a worship that came from a knowledge, but a worship from knowing, hallelujah, that when I was not worthy, he somehow showed up and he visited me and gave me a supernatural visitation. And out of me, he chose me, hallelujah, to bring to every nation of the earth. And now, because of Jacob's faith, you and I are sitting here on September 1st, 2024, in this house of worship, able to freely worship and live and honor God. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? It wasn't just a but it was an intimate response to the faithfulness of God. And then he bowed or leaned on the head of his staff. That means he had his staff in bed with him.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
He had his staff in bed with him. Now, we know that patriarchs, Jacob was the patriarch of his family. And we know that the patriarchs carried a staff that was usually ornately carved. It had ornate carvings in it. It wasn't a walking stick. It wasn't just a simple rod or a pole, but it was, amen, a staff. Hallelujah. And it was ornately carved. Amen. But it was a symbol of patriarchal authority. So when you see, amen, a man with that staff, with that type of staff, you knew that he walked in authority. You knew that he was the head of the family. You knew, amen, the it was designed by God, hallelujah, that he walk in authority. Amen. So this is the staff that Jacob had in his bed with him. See, when they would make oaths, amen, they would make solemn injections. Amen. Praise God. They would do it with the staff. Amen. They would, amen, put the staff down and they would hold on to it as they would make that declaration. They would make that solemn vow. They would make that, amen, commitment. Amen. Now, Jacob didn't need to be standing to do this. Come on, somebody. Aren't you glad of that? Hallelujah. That we're past, hallelujah, legalistic traditions. Amen. But they said, if you don't do it like this, you don't do it like that. Come on. Hallelujah. It ain't going to work. Amen. But I'm thankful that the blood of Jesus washed away all of man's pride and got rid of it all and paid the price for our redemption. Amen. But we also know that on the patriarchal staff, amen, that they would etch, starting from the bottom and going up to the top, they would etch the family history on that staff, including any covenant promises that they made. And so every time, this is why they would, amen, use that staff when they would make a solemn vow, or they would make an oath, or they would make an injunction, they would use this staff because already on it, amen, was every other vow or covenant that was made. So the family history, amen, would have been etched in that staff, starting from the bottom and going up to the top. Hallelujah. Now Jacob reminded Joseph of the promise of God, but somewhere on that staff, Joseph had etched that out. Joseph had carved that in the staff. So just in, or not Joseph, but Jacob. So just in case Joseph would forget. Come on, somebody. Do you understand me today? Hallelujah. Or just in case, can you imagine? Hallelujah. When things got difficult, when there he was trying to gain back, hallelujah, his relationship with his brother, hallelujah, putting his hand on that staff, hallelujah, running his hand up that staff, amen, and being reminded of all the things that God had already done. Come on, somebody. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Anybody got anything etched in your staff this morning of what God has done in your life? Anybody else besides me say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. I need somebody to bless him better than that. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Well, I ain't feeling it, Pastor. Neither did Jacob, but he knew, hallelujah, where his strength came from. He knew where his help come from. He knew, hallelujah, the faithfulness of his God. I'm still laying a foundation. So here's what you got to understand, that staff had been passed down to him from his father, Isaac. Isaac had it passed down from Abraham. So somewhere on it was God bringing Abraham out of his country and searching for a city whose builder and maker is God. All of the things when God cut covenant with Abraham, it was somewhere on that staff. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Amen. So it was passed down. So here it comes from Abraham to Isaac and from Isaac to Jacob. And so etched on it, hallelujah, was all of the things that God, amen, had done for Abraham. And and for Isaac. Hallelujah. And so here's what you got to understand. Hallelujah. Amen. That it was passed down. And Jacob normally would have passed it to his firstborn, whose name was Reuben. But you see, Reuben defiled his father. So God set the scepter. God set the staff. God said the authority is not going to be passed down to Reuben, but it's going to be passed down to Judah. Hallelujah. And what came out of Judah? What scepter did Judah pass down? He passed it down to Emmanuel, God with us. That one Messiah that came out of the lion of the tribe of Judah, the rod of Jesse. Come on, somebody, do you understand? That's what you stand in today. Not the goodness of Abraham's God, not the goodness of Isaac's God or Jacob's or Judah, but in the faithfulness of your God because of what Jesus has done and is. Somebody shout. Somebody give the Lord. Hallelujah, the word. Today. I love the fact that even though it was not a walking stick, he would have used it as a support for that limp. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting Lord. What a privilege, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. May I always be reminded that this ain't about me or anything that I've done or ever will do, but my trust is in the Lord. What time I am afraid, I trust in the Lord. When I don't understand, just run your hand up and down that staff and feel and be reminded that if he did it for others, he'll do it for you. And the covenant is for everyone who will believe. Ah, somebody help me in this place. Upon it, he was reminded of the faithfulness of God. Ooh, hallelujah. And it wasn't about God doing another miracle, but it was how he had kept his father.
You're talking right now. You're talking right.
When we got to have a miracle to move,
amen.
We're missing the mark.
Amen.
When we got to have a sign to proceed, we're missing the mark. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? I ain't looking for another miracle. I'm just thankful. Amen. Of the faithfulness of God. Ah, hallelujah. Are you with me? I know. Praise God. Amen. Sometimes it's important, and sometimes God gives us signs, and we need to have that confirmation. But the Bible says, amen. Praise God. A sign seeking generation is wicked. And boy, we've got that in our church culture today. We got a sign-seeking bunch of people in the body of Christ. Ooh, hallelujah. And we got people gauging truth and spirituality on signs and wonders, forgetting that Satan has power. And Satan operates in witchcraft. He operates. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everything that shimmy she's is not the Holy Ghost.
Right.
I will. Everything that shimmy she's is not the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Told you before, I had an alcoholic uncle who dropped dead at the age of 49. But he would be drunk as a dog and say, watch my sticking tongues anytime I want to. And he would just start rattling off. I don't think he's speaking in tongues today.
You better know it.
Called my grandmother a foul name and instantly dropped dead. Blood vessel in his brain burst and he dropped dead as soon as it came out of his mouth. So don't think. Amen. It's fruit that reveals God first. I said it's fruit that reveals God first. I don't know who that's for. Wasn't in my thoughts for today, but there you have it. See, Jacob was reminded that God broke his will and in his weaknesses and his infirmities, he became dependent on God. He wasn't after another miracle. No one had ever seen angels descending and ascending from the stairway of heaven. I don't know who wrote that song and sang it. I know it's rooted in devil and demonic. Praise God. God wrote it. God wrote it before they did. The devil just took it and perverted it. Some of you older rock and rollers, Louise can tell me after church who wrote Stairway to Heaven. I know the song, I just don't remember who wrote it.
There it is. Matt knows.
Matt knows.
There you go. That explains it. That perverted it. But you get my point. No one had ever seen that. Jacob had deceived, and Jacob had called, lived up to the meaning of his name. And he said, I'm not going to let you go. See, God began to break his will. And in his weaknesses and his infirmities, he learned to depend on God. Imagine having an encounter like a supernatural revelation, life-changing, life-altering encounter with God and him afflicting your body, that every day you got up, you were reminded of that encounter.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I take that one.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
So he was reminded every day of his dependence upon God. Now remember, God changed his name to Israel, which meant Prince of God. But here's what I think is interesting. And God actually did that twice. If you read Jacob's story, God actually said that to Jacob twice. That I changed your name from Jacob to Israel. Twice. He reiterated that to Jacob. But in the scriptures, God refers to himself, even Jesus, refers to God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not Israel, not Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, Jacob's name means to take another place through scheming or deception. It also means heel. It means heel grabber. It means, amen, being the back, getting in the back, amen. But God chose, amen, to refer to himself as the God of Jacob. Why? Because we can relate to amen, Jacob more than we can to Israel. We can relate to the one, amen, who is a schemer, amen, who is deceptive, and who is, amen, broken and flawed more than we can the Prince of God. God. So God related to Jacob's brokenness. He related to Jacob's flaws. Amen. And Jacob's inability. Amen. And his failures. Hallelujah. And so now we find Jacob worshiping God. Hallelujah. Amen. At the very peak of his authority. He is finishing out his days of patriarchal authority. He is finishing, amen. He is at the very climax of all that he is going to be able to fulfill. Amen. He has everything. Hallelujah. It's recorded. Amen. And so he's now bowing to God and to God's will. See, here's what you got to understand. And I'm about to get to where I'm going today in this message. I'm about to get, amen, to start building now. Hallelujah. Because we see something. Amen. When Jacob began to speak to Joseph in the book of Genesis, chapter 47. See, he was worshiping God at the peak of his authority. Hallelujah. He was saying, God, not my will, but yours be done. But he wanted to make sure, amen, that God's promises were kept in order. If I can say it like this, he wanted to make sure that they were kept alive. And he got Joseph to make that vow. Hallelujah. Before he went that next step. See, here's what you got to understand. Jacob and his family almost died in the promised land. There was a famine, and they almost died in the land flowing with milk and honey. In the land that God promised the Israelites and his people that he would provide for them and he would bless them. Amen. It would be the land of abundance, that there would be, amen, no withholding. But we know that a famine came in the land of Canaan. Joseph, amen, was not there. He was in Egypt. Amen. Jacob thought Joseph was dead. Hallelujah. Because his brothers told him that, amen, we found his bloody coat. Amen. And we believe he's dead, knowing that he was sold into slavery. Amen. But here's the thing. Jacob and his family almost died in the promised land. They were forced to leave the promise. Amen. To leave the land that God had given them. To live in Egypt and to survive the famine. Now here's what you got to understand. Remember I told you 17 years had passed from the time that they left Canaan and they went to Egypt. Amen. They were there 17 years. That many years had passed. Amen. And amen. The people that had left Canaan, they were ready to settle and to make Egypt their home. They were ready to stay there. Now, here's what you got to understand. History reveals, amen, that at this time in history, it was not under the harshness, amen, as it was 100 years later. So it wasn't under, amen, that rule. When you say Pharaoh, amen, there was a mixture, amen, from Asian countries that had come into Egypt. So it wasn't the harshness that it was. So it really wasn't a bad place to live. Are you with me? And all of those people that came from the land of Canaan were ready to make Egypt their final home. 17 years they had established, amen, a presence. They had established a life, a home, had probably children born when they were there. Praise God. Are you understanding me today? Hallelujah. And in their mind, Canaan was a land filled with famine and death. They left it behind. And here in Egypt, amen, they at least had everything they needed. Hallelujah. And although they were prospering and they were blessed in Egypt, Jacob knew it was not their inheritance. That was not where they were destined to dwell. Jacob knew that that was not what God had told him at Bethel. God reminded him, I am the God of Bethel. Will somebody help me? Jacob knew that Egypt was not the place that they were to get comfortable in. He knew that they had adjusted and it felt right and it looked good, but it was not. Joseph, hallelujah, when he put his hand on his side, he said, don't you dare bury me in Egypt. I don't want to be remembered as this is my home, because my home, I got somebody better hear me today. I can see him running his hand up and down that staff and remembering the words of his grandfather Abraham and his daddy Isaac, and he said, God made us a promise that the land of Canaan is where we are to be. Why? Because we are a separate people. We are not like the Egyptians. We are to, oh, you ain't hearing me. We have been set apart. We are a separate people.
Amen.
He said, so I want you to take me and bury me with my fathers. Because when anybody passes through the land of promise, I don't want to be remembered, hallelujah, as anything other than dying and believing everything that God has spoken and said. Oh, God, you got to hear you.
Amen. Good word.
This is why Joseph told them to get my bones out of Egypt.
Yes.
Don't bury me in this place. Oh, God.
Amen.
Jacob knew God's people.
Yes.
See, if he had been buried in Egypt, he could have very well been forgotten. Because God's people weren't going to, didn't belong in Egypt. So ain't nobody going to pass through there. Oh, let's go to the cemetery today. Let's go to the graveyard and remember. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
But he knew. Because God said, I will bless the nations, all families of the earth, through you. So he knew if God had done it from the bottom, from Abraham, Isaac, now 147 years of his life, come on somebody, to that time when he was about to take his last breath, if God had done it and fulfilled it, then it's going to happen. It may not look like it right now. Right now in Egypt, it may not feel like it. And God said, listen, if God said he was going to bless and the Canaan land belonged to us, I don't care if there was death and there was famine there before. Take me back, because God who holds the keys to death and life. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. So even if something is dead, he'll bring it back to life. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Can I tell you, you don't belong in Egypt. You belong in the Canaan land. Don't let yourself be buried in Egypt, because that's not your final testimony. That's not the last of what God is going to do. You may not feel it. It may not look like it. But you've got to refuse to be buried in Egypt. Don't let the comforts of Egypt blind you to your purpose. Now remember, Egypt isn't a bad place right now. So when we say Egypt, you know, we automatically think slavery, bondage, chains, shackles, right? But it's a little different right now. I've never preached from that. That's perspective before, that God spoke this to me. So we're about to start our camp meeting next Sunday, and the theme is the best is yet to come. So if you believe that, what do you want to stay in Egypt for? Because the best ain't in Egypt. The best is already in the promised land. Anything in Egypt, you ain't going to find it there. Oh, come on, somebody. I said, well, I don't care how good and how, amen, enjoyable it is, and how much happiness it brings you, and how much contentment you'll find in it. That's not where God has your purpose to be fulfilled. You belong in the land of promise. You don't belong in Egypt. So that when somebody else over my life. What was their purpose? To be a separate people. And they weren't separate right then in Egypt. Joseph was ruling. Joseph had authority. And they just blended in. That was this, remember now, this time in Egypt, it was a mixed culture. It's a weird, I can't remember it. I should have wrote it down, but I didn't. It don't matter at the end of the day, because Jesus doesn't care all of it anyway.
Amen.
It starts with an H. Hick or Hick, I don't know. But there was a mixture. So instead of standing out, they blended in. Helping Jesus not to preach right here. This world is not our home. You should not blend in with this world. Do not get so comfortable in this place you're in now, because it's only a temporary residence. God's blessing wasn't promised in Egypt. Now, provision was made because Joseph was ruling.
Yep.
I'm just going to take a hold of that for a minute.
Yeah.
See, there's covenant blessings. Mm-hmm. And I'm not speaking out of the side of my mouth. I'm not trying to be cliche. There are covenant blessings that belong to covenant people. And we're covenant people because we've said yes to the covenant. So that separates us. We're different. We will be blessed when the world is falling apart. We will prosper when there's some prosperity coming from the top, from the White House. I need somebody to help me on this place. We will stay up and not go down when everything else is drowning in the anxiety and fear of the world and the spirit of Antichrist. We will stand with our hands up worshiping, filled with joy, even though we walk in the presence of death. Even though we're standing in the midst of adversity and we don't have a way out and we don't see a change and we don't feel it, we ain't going to get comfortable in that Egypt because we ain't going to be buried there, because that's not where we belong. We've been separated. We belong in the Canaan land. That's where I want to be remembered. See, here's the thing now. They were still God's people even though they were in Egypt. So I'm not saying you ain't saved. Don't let the demonic forces of hell try to twist and pervert what I'm saying and tell you that I'm saying you ain't saved.
Right.
It's a little bumble. He just... So they were still God's people in Egypt. Didn't change the covenant one bit.
Come on, man.
Didn't change their position. Jacob was still there, had the same patriarchal authority.
Come on, man.
He might not have had rule in Egypt, but he had dominion in the spirit. So I'm not saying this flippantly because I believe it does matter. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who's ruling from the top of the government.
Yeah.
Come on.
We've been seated in a heavenly place.
Yes. Yes.
And as my wife said this morning, Jesus, hallelujah, she pointed out that when the priests, there were no chairs in the outer court of the amen of the tabernacle. Praise God, because the priests could never sit down because their work was never finished. Their work was never done. So they could not sit down. They had to keep the fire on the altar at all times. They had to keep everything going, so there were no chairs allowed, amen, in the outer courts. Hallelujah. But guess what? When the high priest, Jesus himself, who became the ultimate high priest, when he shed his blood, took it back to heaven, purified the mercy seat, came back down for a few days and went back up and ascended back up, guess what he did? Hallelujah. He sat down at the right hand of God. Why? Because the work was finished. It was done. Now the priest can take a seat. He calls, somebody help me in this place. So when the devil tells you you don't belong, say you don't realize who's sitting at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. That's my testimony. Whatever I couldn't do, he finished it. When I said yes to his covenant of salvation.
Come on.
I'm about to finish. Don't get comfortable with the residual blessing. Some of you are so used to living off the residue. Oh, Jesus. When there is a fullness, see, those residual blessings are in Egypt. Some of you are so used to gleaning the leftovers. There's a time when that's what we do, but that's not your permanent place. You stay in the field. And even when there's nothing else to glean, the Bible says that God will give you handfuls on purpose. He'll make people bless you that don't even like you.
Been there, done that.
I got people that don't like me. They don't know me, but they don't like me. They don't like me based on someone else's description, someone else's idea, someone else's thoughts about me. And that's okay. That don't bother me. I don't give a hoot. I really don't. I don't lose a lick of sleep over anybody not like me. I used to worry about what everybody thought. Thank God I got delivered from that mess. No matter what somebody thinks. It's their fault, not God's.
Right. Amen. That's right.
He said to think those thoughts. Are you with me? So I know I got people that don't like me. There's people I ain't crazy about. I don't hate anybody. I don't. I would feed, clothe. I can't think of anybody, even what's considered my worst enemy. I'll just put me to the test. That's all right. I pray that I can pass it.
Right. Amen.
But I can't think of I wouldn't do. Now, I don't trust them.
Yes, see.
I'm not going to invite them in my house and give them the key to my house and right. give them access to my stuff and tell them they can come and go as they please. You've lost your mind.
Right.
They don't like me. Are you with me?
Yeah.
That's not where God has destined for you to stay.
Right.
See, it's just a temporary. See, you get so comfortable in gleaning the leftovers. But you see, the fruitfulness is in our identity as covenant children of God, not in what we have.
Right, exactly.
That That's the fruitfulness. And that's what's going to cause people to see us separate.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And it's going to cause people to desire what we have.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
I heard the Lord say, don't be buried in Egypt.
Amen.
See, God has come to us. Remember Jacob's stairway, Jacob's ladder?
Uh-huh.
God has come to us. Emmanuel, God with us. And we can't be separate if we don't stand in the full covenant of everything that God has set for us, our purpose to be a separate people.
Right.
You'll just blend in.
Yeah, see.
In Egypt. Every now and then, something might glimmer, but you'll just blend in. That's why he wants to convince us that our complacency, and he'll convince us that what we are doing, what we're not doing, is justified. Are you getting this morning?
Yeah.
Don't bury me in Egypt. That's not where I want to be remembered, because that's not my home.
Right, amen.
That's not where God destined for me to fulfill my purpose. So this temporary thing that you're experiencing. See, I know it's tough. I was like, God, Egypt. Every time you say Egypt, everybody thinks, you know, the worst. Like, no freedom. These guys were free to come and go in Egypt. Right? They were still God's people. Just because they were in Egypt didn't mean that the covenant had been lifted off them. Their covenant identity had not been lifted off them.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not where they were supposed to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes it'll seem desolate and dry and empty and dead in Canaan. Been there. Kind of feel like, well, I don't know if you'll take that right or not. But I kind of feel like I got one foot in Canaan and I got one foot in Egypt.
Been there.
You know what I'm saying? Not out of my lack of willingness to get this foot out. But I've realized, as long as I have one in Canaan, I remember all that he's done. And that's where I belong.
Right. Yeah.
And that this is only temporary.
Right.
Sometimes the stay there is longer, 17 years. Jacob stayed there, and Joseph ruled. But they prospered, they were blessed. So I'm not saying you're not blessed. I'm not saying that you're not making it. I'm not saying that you're backslidden or that you're lost. I'm just saying you're not fulfilling the purpose, the covenant purpose that God placed on your life as his people. So they get ready, they come to the music. Told you I was almost done. See, you all think you know me. I don't know myself sometimes. See, Jacob said, don't bury me, Egypt. I want the enemy to know I can't be buried in Egypt. See, if I'm buried in Egypt, that means that God's finished. If I stay here, that means that I'm content See, Jacob wasn't looking for another miracle. He was just believing and knowing the faithfulness of God and who he was and his dependence on the Lord. And if he did give him a miracle, he would etch it in his staff, and it would be remembered. It would be his testimony. Joseph said, take my bones out of Egypt. Don't you leave me here. And the Bible says when the Israelites left Egypt, they got Joseph's bones and they carried them out and they buried him with his fathers. So as you stand with me across this place, there's some of you in Egypt right now. Let me remind you, that's not that you have necessarily done anything wrong, that you have caused yourself to be there. I certainly didn't put myself in the Egypt that I am in. But I'm there. And I don't want to get comfortable and feel like that I can just float on by in that Egypt. There's more. If the best is yet to come, I got to get out of Egypt before I see it.
Amen.
It ain't gonna come to me in Egypt. So I refuse to be buried in Egypt. I hope this has made sense to you today. We can see ourselves a lot in Jacob's life. But here's the thing. If you're a covenant child of God, his lineage is your lineage. This is my father.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. His scepter, Jacob's staff, was passed to Jesus. And that's where it stopped. It didn't need to be passed to anybody else. Oh, hallelujah. Stay ready to worship. Let me ask, is there anybody in this place today? You're tired of searching. You're tired of trying to find peace. You're tired of trying to find rest and contentment. Said yes to Jesus. That's you. I want you to get out of your seat. Come. Come to this altar and say yes to Jesus. Say yes. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. While the Spirit is dealing expressly with those who are not in right relationship with God, is there anyone else in here today? Say, Pastor, I'm in an Egypt. I'm in an Egypt. Maybe the enemy's trying to get you comfortable there. Maybe the enemy's trying to get you to believe that nothing's ever going to change, that it's never going to be any different. So you're content and just hanging out in Egypt. But that's not God's purpose for you. He has set aside Canaan. And he's called you to be separate people. That's you, and you say, I desire prayer. Once you get out of your seat, come, I want to pray with you. Come on. Make your way quickly. Go ahead and worship.